Hey, it's Kim from the Conscious Kitchen podcast, where we mix healing and vulnerability into a spicy soup of nail-biting conversations. Join me this season because we're healing no matter what the fuck happens. Amazing. So, hi everyone, welcome to the Conscious Kitchen podcast. And today, for this episode, we have Chi. And so, for an amazing introduction, Chi is a facilitator, a mentor, a retreat leader, and a connector for those who are seeking to experience psychedelic medicine. Chi was featured in the 100 Most Influential People in Psychedelics by Psychedelic Invest. And Chi founded TripSitters. And TripSitters is a psilocybin community and education hub for psychedelic journeyers, growers, and TripSitters to connect with community. Thank you so, so much for taking the time to be here today with us, Chi.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I didn't know what the intro for me was going to be. And I'm happy to be here. And just before we start, I'd like to thank all my teachers and the plant medicine spirits, the mushroom spirits, my parents, Noah for the mushroom team.
I want to go into this first, question, the beliefs around the use of plant medicine, right? Specifically, plant medicine like peyote. What is your take on using certain plant medicine like peyote by non-Indigenous individuals?
That's a very deep question. I wouldn't say it's like something I think about all the time. There's a lot of perspectives, and on one hand, people think, why can't anyone use something that grows from the ground? And on the other hand, Indigenous tribes who have been using it for many decades and maybe centuries say that there's a limited amount, and that if everybody were allowed to do it, peyote, which takes a long time to grow, would become scarce, and it would take away from their ability to use it. So, in this case, I feel like let's spotlight the voices that have already been marginalized, which is a Native American voice, and really trust their wisdom. There's a lot of other plant medicines, and mushroom medicines. Psilocybin, anyone can grow them, and they grow pretty abundantly in the wild. So it's really thinking about the bigger picture and understanding that all these medicines essentially lead to the same place. So if someone is saying, please don't use it, let's definitely at least consider that very strongly.
I love that answer. And you're so, so right about, I love what you mentioned about all medicines lead to the same place, right? And to really just notice that. And I just, on a personal note, I love that as well. Mushroom journeyer, student of the plant myself. I go into each journey knowing nothing and coming out sometimes still knowing nothing, and really just appreciating the journey that really the mushrooms have for me. And, so I'm based in LA. And so I wanted to ask, what is your take or forecast of what you feel like can happen as medicine like psilocybin becomes more like a party drug? So for context, here in LA, it's being handed at LA parties. And so what do you foresee can happen? What's your take on this, especially as it gets handed in this way, compared to maybe cannabis products that are marketed for overconsumption?
I sort of accept things as they are now. Some people are going to approach it recreationally. That's where their mind and heart and spirit is at. Other people are going to approach it more therapeutically or spiritually. So, there's lessons to be learned. And I guess the question is, what does a recreational journey mean? Can that be helpful? Can that be healing? If people connect, can that be healing, even if it's done without necessarily the highest intentions? Can it help people let go and realize that there's something bigger than themselves? Yeah, I'd say everyone has to learn their own lessons. The mushrooms and the other medicines have their own way of teaching. And sometimes there's just no other way. If they were going to do recreationally, it was going to happen at the party or somewhere else, you know? So I would say also the people handing them out, like candy, they're going to learn some difficult lessons as well when people have some difficult journeys. Yeah, there's learning in everything, no matter how the medicine is approached. And obviously, if it's approached in a more of a lax, maybe disrespectful way, then the mushrooms are going to humble the people who are involved in taking it that way. So, yeah, I just have faith that there's something way bigger than human beings at play, and that humans are really just infants on this planet, and that we're going to learn lessons one way or the other.
Thank you so much for that answer. And when you were speaking to that, someone had told me this phrase, which is the plant medicine finds you, right? And it's interesting because when you were speaking about, you know, how we get to this medicine, no matter what path we take, we're all going to learn the lesson that we are meant to be receiving. And so thank you so, so much for sharing that, because it's very true. And I also wanted to ask how your own personal psilocybin journeys really affected your relationship with your parents, if you feel comfortable sharing.
Well, I tripped sat for my dad a couple of times earlier on few years ago, maybe 4.5 years ago. And that really was the impetus for me to take this more seriously. And it really opened my heart to this being in front of me who is my parent. And also, I really saw him like a child when he was going through whatever he was going through. And yeah, it helped me be more compassionate. It takes time, you know, these deeply rooted relationships, issues, you know, histories, they don't somehow clear out all of a sudden. And then, it takes time to work on these relationships. And also, this gave me more of the motivation to be able to renew my relationship with my mom and dad. My mom microdoses. Both my parents have tried it, and, at first they were definitely more hesitant about the path I was taking, especially my dad. But now they have no reservations. They just see that I'm doing what I'm doing, and that I'm happy, and that I'm living my purpose. So yeah, it shifted in that way where I think they don't worry about me as much. Through this work, I've really been able to become an adult and a member of society, hopefully a decent one. And yeah, it's really helped me also see my parents as just human beings who have their patterns, and I can't change them. I can only listen and send them love. And so yeah, it's really given me this kind of more peaceful attitude towards my parents, although obviously it's not always easy.
I wanted to ask this follow-up question just based off what you said of, you know, you mentioned it's not always easy with our parents. Sometimes maybe, for example, they trigger us. How has psilocybin helped you approach these moments of trigger whenever they arise?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's just, in general, there's just less anger in my system, you know, probably for 10, 20 however many, 50 journeys maybe, there was always there was quite a bit of anger that had to be released through my system, a lot of yelling and cursing. More recently, it took several years and maybe 100 journeys, but a lot of that anger is cleared out now. So yeah, there's just a more of an open-heartedness, maybe more of an acceptance of how things are, and not wishing things to be too much different than they are, and just opening to how life is presenting itself I have no control over that. So, yeah, I feel like when we let go of control, then it's all good. Then we just let things be as they are.
I love that. I've personally been riding out this mantra, which is let go and let flow. Easier said than done. Very much so for me. So seriously, thank you for sharing that. And I also wanted to ask, how do you feel about the rise of synthetic plant medicine? What do you feel like it comes up for you when you think of that?
Well, synthetic plant medicine is probably better than no plant medicine. Yeah, I would just always ask, why are people making synthetic plant medicine? Why are people taking synthetic plant medicine? And just sit with those questions and contemplate. It's happening. It's going to continue to happen. It's just much easier to, I can't say easier to produce, but it gives more bang for the buck in terms of you don't need as much to get the same number of doses, I guess you can say. So, yeah, you know, personally, I have a connection with the real psilocybin mushrooms, so I wouldn't feel the need to really reach for the synthetic. And I have a lot of friends who grow them. So thankfully, I have access. And also, I understand if people don't have access that they might reach for the synthetic substances. Also, something like synthetic mescaline, you know, if that can save some peyote plants, that's great. And yeah, also, like, who's making these synthetic substances? Where are they being created? What's the intention behind the creation? Because that's also part of the ingestion as well, is the person who made it, their intention is going to carry into a person's journey. So yeah, it's just, I try not to resist it. I just let things as they are. And also, I know what I like. So everybody has a choice.
Yeah, this one. And to what you mentioned as well, just a question that came up for me. Do you feel like there is a difference energetically whenever you're receiving, let's say, mushrooms from someone you don't know, like if you don't know who grew it, versus when you know the grower or you've grown it yourself?
Yeah, this is a very subtle thing. But, you know, I always ask myself, there are certain people I love getting mushrooms from, and then there are certain people I don't necessarily want to, no matter what they're growing, just because I think about this person on the journey, right? It's just like, it's a connection. And, you know, let's say I meet with them to go get it. Like, do I want to meet with them? What kind of people are they? So yeah, there's a lot of factors. Like, the people I trust, it doesn't even matter. They don't even need to tell me what kind it is. I just am happy to see them and to receive medicine from them. And there are some others that say they have great, you know, whatever, gummies, chocolates, or dried mushrooms, but I still don't really want to go meet with them, you know. So it's really just about the trust and about the relationship. It's not like I don't like them, it's just I'd rather deal with someone else sometimes if I can. So yeah, I just have a few favorites, and it's great if a person can find a reliable source that they really like connecting with.
Thank you for that. And one more question to that. You know, is there a subtle difference as well when you are ingesting mushrooms as they are versus when they're in gummies or when they're in chocolates?
For me, I'm really agnostic, just like whatever comes my way. I love chocolates. I love gummies, honeys sometimes when they come, dried mushrooms. So there's probably, you know, there's definitely differences if you have a gummy or chocolate. There's just different ingredients in there and everything affects everything. Sometimes the cacao and the chocolate can potentiate the mushrooms. You know, sometimes in capsules, people add different things like lion's mane, other supplements. I'd say if you have a choice, great. Then you can start maybe seeing what the differences are. And if you're presented something and that's your only choice, I'd say don't worry about it too much. Just take it, take the psilocybin, whatever form it's in, be happy. And Yeah, it's just really a lot about that attitude as well. You know, like if we prefer something else, then that attitude is also going to affect our journey. It's maybe that's a sufficient reply.
It totally is. And thank you for, you know, mentioning all of that as well. You know, I ask that because something you mentioned, which was really, it hit me a specific way, because when I'm ingesting chocolates versus gummies versus mushrooms, the thought does come in my mind. And so I love what you said about, you know, the attitude that you have towards the medicine, you know, will energetically, in maybe one way or another, affect your trip. So you mentioned this quite a bit throughout our conversation, which is really releasing and letting go and not resisting, and just allowing what can come through. I wanted to also ask, how do you feel about corporations capitalizing on entheogens?
Yeah, obviously mixed feelings. Again, we live in a system where people are conditioned to think in these kinds of ways of capitalizing, extracting, being the human that is like above the plants or the substances to get something in order to turn it into money. Like, this is just deeply conditioned thing, thought pattern. So, of course, we can get angry at the people trying to do this, or we can be very happy that they're using their marketing dollars and they're spreading the word. You know, in my mind, like, the mushrooms are very intelligent. And whenever there's capital flowing, the mushrooms will utilize that capital in order to grow itself. So, these people who are trying to extract and capitalize, everyone has their own karma. So they have to deal with the consequences of trying to put up gates and patent something that grows from the ground. It's really about feeling compassion for these corporations, feeling compassion for the people who work in these corporations, and just realizing that they're part of the human family too, and they're just doing their best to survive and be a good human, whatever that might mean, even if it's misguided. And if it's misguided, then nature will teach them whatever difficult lessons they need to learn. So in my mind, like, the mushrooms are growing, whether it's through corporations or through human beings that are just growing them at their home or spreading the spores in nature. There's a lot of, the underground is really flourishing. So there's a lot of people, you know, building out organizations, growing mushrooms, like big warehouses full of them. So, and grow kits are being sent, are becoming popular now. So I have faith in the underground. Like, what's above ground in the media is just a tiny sliver of what's actually happening. And I just have faith that the mushrooms are extremely intelligent and that they'll grow regardless of what human beings do.
I love that. Thank you for mentioning that. And I want to point out something you said that was really, it's interesting, because you mentioned compassion towards corporations. And, you know, I was following you and I was like, wow, because that's, you know, there's this absolute truth that we all know, right? This oneness, or this loving compassion. And so I love that in your answer, you went straight to that compassion piece, because if I were to answer this, I'd have to go through a lot of anger and a lot of, but they did this, but they did that, in order to get to that absolute truth. And so in your answer, you went straight there right away, you know, compassion for these individuals.
Yeah, I would say I've been through my angry phases as well. You know, I've been in this space for 4.5 years now as a so-called professional, whatever that means. So yeah, I've felt many emotions. And I've also seen the community grow that are not corporate entities. And so, you know, sometimes the corporations can help the community grow, whether that was their purpose or not. Like, they get more people interested in mushrooms, people research mushrooms, people realize that they don't have to go to a corporation to get mushrooms, they can grow them on their own. So, yeah. And also anger practice, so that anger doesn't arise. And if it does, I'm not like speaking it or acting on it in this world as much.
I have so much to learn just from what you, when you were speaking. I feel like I'm receiving medicine by just you speaking. I also want to talk about this notion of access, right? Plant medicine is catered, you know, can be catered to those who have access or privilege, for example, money, right? Or even having to know someone in order to receive, you know, receive mushrooms. For example, for me, I have to go through like 10 different people in order to see who's growing. And there's a little bit of fear that I have living in America because for many states here, it's considered illegal. And so how do you, in your opinion, how can someone access these deep places or deep spaces of healing within themselves, maybe without psychedelics? You know, do you feel like you need psychedelics in order to heal deep intergenerational trauma?
I mean, there's a lot of spiritual masters throughout time and space who have, you know, become enlightened without plant medicines. So yeah, it's definitely possible. Meditation, being with spiritual teachers, being in community, being out in nature, all that can be helpful, you know, eating healthy, breath work, yoga, all of that. I'd say that the system is what it is, and humanity is sort of on a certain trajectory. If you look at the ecosystems in the world, we're really in trouble in many ways. So I'd say at this time in history, it's hard to do it just the human way. I'd say a lot of us need something other than human to support us. For example, the mushrooms can just enter the body and mind, then they can heal things that we can't just heal with as easily with other substance or, you know, other ways. So yeah, I received many inquiries of people who said they've tried everything, you know, and they're on a spiritual path, but there's still something a little bit more. So I've seen a lot of people benefit from just the addition of plant medicine. So I'd say in regards to the question about access, yes, anyone can grow them on their own. You know, it takes a certain level of comfort with risk. Mushrooms grow on the ground, so you know, people can go pick them. Of course, this is where we realize that the laws are completely backwards, and that if we really want to expand access, then we need to find ways to change the laws so that they don't just favor the privileged elite who could already get mushrooms anyway. Yeah, this is why decriminalization, not creating this kind of system where there's licenses necessarily, and those who get licenses don't want underground practitioners or people growing their own because it affects their ability to profit from these licenses. So it's really being careful of what happens when we just go down the path that we've always gone down, which is like regulation, give certain people licenses and have the rest of the people buy from the people or go to the people with licenses, because that's fraught with self-preservation issues that come up. Is people pay $1,000, $10,000, $50,000 for whatever license to facilitate, grow, you know, run retreats. And then they see underground people who haven't paid that, and they go, oh, we can't have these underground people, otherwise we're not going to survive as an entity or an organization. So yeah, it's really understanding that we have to go about it different ways. And if we go about it the ways we have, then naturally there's going to be this kind of class system where it's still the privileged people who get the licenses and the people who don't have as much privilege who still have to be in fear of not doing things the legal way.
I have a follow-up question to that as well. You know, this difference between decriminalization versus legalization. What are your thoughts of, you know, for context, I went to this like a psilocybin conference last year, and they were talking about how they don't want the route of psilocybin or entheogens to go down the route that cannabis went through with legalization. So What do you feel, how do you feel about this? You know, you mentioned decriminalization, but what, first of all, what is the difference between decriminalization and legalization? And what is your take on decriminalization versus legalization for indigenous?
Yeah. Well, I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination in these kinds of topics. In my understanding, decriminalization is removing the criminal penalties that are associated with, you know, let's say taking substances. And obviously there's levels of decriminalization. So do you just decriminalize possession? Do you decriminalize growing? Do you decriminalize sharing? Because then it becomes like a free-for-all, right? Which is what some people want. And then there's legalization, which is more of like this kind of regulated market where the government at whatever level says, these are the rules you have to follow. These are the licenses you have to have. These are the qualifications you have to have. You know, this is the money you have to pay in license fees, taxes. So that's more of like a legalized pathway. So yeah, the question is, you know, who is it legal for? In a legal environment, it's still legal for a certain subset of people. What about, you know, a 20-year-old kid growing mushrooms in his closet? Is it legal for this person? Because if it isn't, then the word legal is just, it's just another term for like class in a certain way, right? If it's not legal for this person, then it's not really legal. It's just, it's almost like a joke, right? So the question is always, is it legal to grow it at home? Is it legal to share it with friends and family? And if not, why isn't it? And why aren't we arguing for people's right to grow and share what grows from the ground or what grows in their closet? Of course, you know, the arguments for legalization are that there needs to be some regulation, because if it's a free-for-all, then there can be danger to the person buying it or the person going to facilitators. If anybody can become a facilitator, then maybe there are some bad apples in there that say they're a facilitator, but they're not really qualified in a certain way. So I'd say there's good arguments for both sides, and it's just up to people to always ask the question, I mean, in my mind, can I grow it at home, and can I share it with friends and family without the government trying to get their cut in taxes?
Oh, this is so good. This is so good. As someone who is an absolute newbie, this is how I define myself, and it's growing. This definition is growing, but I always like to say I don't know anything when it comes to just plant medicine in general. And I want to thank you for everything you've mentioned as well, because just from my journey, psychedelics have helped me. I actually was able to look at my anxiety straight in the eyes through acid. And then that kind of sparked my own journey. I'm 25 now. I'm still literally, I just don't know anything. But what I do know is that this has tremendously helped me just look my darkness in the eyes, instead of running away from it like I've been programmed to or conditioned to. And I wanted to ask you this one last question, which is integration. And so I always think that, okay, once I take these mushrooms, or once I do this, you know, take this acid or whatever it may be, I'm healed. I'm healed. I can just go back into society, and I'm a completely new person without doing any integration work. So how do you feel like folks who are journeyers can integrate in a way that works for them? And I know it's like not a one-size-fits-all answer, but what is your take on just integrating the lessons that these medicines teach you?
Yeah, I feel like whenever we talk about integration, it's also important to talk about preparation. preparing for the post journey, like going into it with an understanding that it's a lifelong, many lives long journey, that one ceremony, one magic mushroom journey, five magic mushroom journeys, 10 magic mushroom journeys, they're just little tiny steps in the path to get in touch with this kind of infinite nature of, you know, whatever it is we're part of right now. So, yeah, I'd say, you know, contemplating one's life, assessing one's life, being realistic, honest with oneself. I think that's all part, you know, that is preparation, and also that can be integration, is just, what did the mushrooms teach me? And sitting with that, are there any changes that the mushrooms really showed me that I need to make, or that my gut knows, but somehow I haven't taken that action? What does it take to take those actions? What needs to be let go of? So all these kinds of questions to sit with that we might have not wanted to face, these kind of difficult decisions. Maybe my career has been the wrong one for me. You know, a lot of people are questioning their jobs. So if I know it's wrong, then what's keeping me from letting it go? Of course, I need security. I need money. Okay, so, you know, integration isn't overnight. Just because you know that something is not right doesn't mean that you've set up your life where you can let go of that thing. You know, sometimes we have to just do things in order to put food on the table, you know, but the longer we procrastinate on making the change, the more it'll just weigh us down and like really tear at us from the inside. So it's really about being clear with our values and living as much in accordance and alignment with our values as possible. And yeah, and also realizing, I think a big thing in our culture is we think that it's about ourselves and that it's about our healing. And also in reality, it's about something way bigger than ourselves, what we're a part of, our role in society and community, our role in passing down the knowledge and wisdom, sharing, educating. So yeah, it's realizing that our own healing is just the first step. And then we realize that there's millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, billions of people that are in pain and suffering. So how can I, with my newly healed body and mind, how can I be of service to all the other beings who are suffering? So yeah, many layers to that.
It's become more rare for me, especially with the rise of new age or, you know, spiritual people, spiritual teachers talking about service, being acts of service to other people, collective care versus just individual care. Thank you so much. Seriously, when you were speaking, I was just thinking, I am a student to whatever you're saying right now, and whatever you're saying is the exact medicine that I need to hear in this moment. So thank you so much for taking the time, Chi. And for everyone who is listening, I definitely recommend checking out tripsitters.org. Something I really like about the site is that if you are interested in joining an organization in your state, you can check that out on the site. I live in California, Southern California, and there's a list of organizations for me to be a part of and connect with people from so many different parts of where I live. So I'll end it with that. And thank you so, so much again, Chi, for being here.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having me. And yeah, I hope this is beneficial for all those who are listening.